G'day guys, it is I, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another instalment of the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. You can follow me at Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank, as in bank, and on at Hoopball Pels. That's the show. If you want to give it a little subscribe on Twitter, that'd be fantastic. Of course, if you don't mind and you're on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, where you're listening to this pod, if you want to go and give it a review or and leave a comment, I'm more than happy to have those, and we appreciate all the support. I mean, before we get into it, I should probably be in a bit more disappointed mood. I just finished watching the Pelicans take on the Thunder, and we'll get to that shortly. But I'd like to shout out a big uptick in the listenership, guys. I appreciate all the support, everyone getting around the show. It's been phenomenal, honestly, to see, especially over the December and into the January period, the amount of people coming to the show and coming back, which is something that I really appreciate. We put a lot of work into the show, so thanks for listening, and big shout out particularly to the guys in Auckland. The people in New Zealand have really rallied. Cheers to Stephen Adams. I'll continue to keep plugging him, and there's a big shout out to him as well today for his performance. But cheers to the guys in New Zealand. And I will begrudgingly admit that Kane Williamson is probably the best Test cricketer in the world. But anyway, That's as much as you'll get from a disgruntled Australian just watching his team lose by 1 point. Yes, I said it. The Pelicans had the third of their homestand, and then they head off on a 7-game West Coast road trip, which we're just excited for, against the Thunder. Now, I finished off yesterday's show and said I promised we were going to win. That probably went out the window about halfway through the second quarter, so I apologise for that. I probably put the jinx on, and I'll wear that loss, obviously, myself, and I'll regroup and won't make any more false promises for you, because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We were meant to come out and stomp this mob. So, unfortunately, we didn't get the win. We fell 111 to 110. Came down to a final shot by Nikhil Alexander-Walker after a broken play from Brandon Ingram with about 12 seconds left. He got double-teamed, passed out to Nikhil, who pump-faked George Hill into oblivion, and then in and out with his three-point attempt. Had plenty of room, so, unfortunately it was the way the ball bounced. Didn't happen, but Stephen Adams got one arm to it, which was basically the story of the game, was him getting hold of the ball. And he attempted the tip, but we just ran out of time as three blokes hung off him. And, that's the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. Overall, pretty woeful performance by everyone except B.I., Zion, and Stephen Adams. You know, the starting lineup all come out with double-digit scoring again, which you love to see. Nikhil off the bench also had 13 points, which I loved his aggression. I tweeted about it as well. When his number was called, when JJ Redick unfortunately went down in the second quarter, I think, he had a knee clash and he was out. Yeah, it was the second quarter because he tried at halftime to come back. He used his minutes wisely. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. Unfortunately, the execution wasn't there, and I know Antonio Daniels said at the end, you know, you don't want to rain on a guy's confidence, but he had a lot of space to drive in. I agree. He did probably have a chance to shoot at 15 feet, but if you're more comfortable shooting the three-pointer, well then, take the shot that you want to take. You know, you live and die by that. If I had gone in, all of a sudden we're saying, yep, give Nikhil starters minutes, he's phenomenal, why hasn't he been playing all year? So it really is one bounce of the basketball was the difference between us going 5-3 to us going 4-4. So, a little bit difficult and frustrating nonetheless. We shouldn't be in that position. We shouldn't ever let ourselves get down by double digits against a Thunder team that really has no one exciting besides Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is an absolute gun, and I will not take that away from him. But when you're getting torched by Darius Baisley, Mike Muscala, and, you know, George Hill as well, these guys are a ragtag bunch, you know. They're thrown together, they're a heavily rebuilding side, but they come out and made us look second rate. I'll get to so the first quarter, you know, we came out and we actually won that. We were convincing. It was like, yep, this is the team we're looking for. You know, the three-pointer wasn't falling, but led quarter one 34-26, which when you're sitting there with an 8-point lead going into the first quarter against a team that you're like, well, we add a couple more to this lead, they're going to drop their heads. The shot's going to stop falling. And it was the three-pointer that kept them in it for most of the night. You drop your head and you get on top of these young team, you know, they disappear and you end up winning by 30. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. We came out in the second quarter, and I also tweeted about this. I said, please don't come out in the second quarter and when the bench comes out and we just fall away. So we did that. And now I've realized I'm probably just cursing the team every time I tweet like that. So I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to sit quietly in the corner and rant about it afterwards. But overall, it just wasn't good enough. You know, for example, we shot 49% from the field. Phenomenal. They shot 46, so you win that. Then you have a look at the three-pointers. We shot 18.2% from three. They shot 41%. Fairly certain the stat was Antonio Daniels said that it was a 45-point swing from three-pointers between the two teams. So you're getting 45 points advantage from the three-point line when you're the Thunder. If we take that three away, they have absolutely nothing. Al Horford was a non-factor. Mike Muscala did all of his damage from three. Baisley lit us up from three. SGA lit us up from three. And no one else did anything. But you have a look. So Shai hit two. Baisley three. Dort even hit one. Al Horford hit two threes. George Hill hit three threes. Mike Muscala hit 5 of 7. And Maladone hit two. And even Roby hit one as well. So, if you're going 10 deep in your lineup and all of them are shooting threes, perhaps we should run them off the three-point line. Because that's what they wanted to do. You can't just rely on them going cold and saying, oh, they might not hit as many in the second quarter or in the second half. Well, they did. And we actually got ourselves back into the lineup, or into the game. I think it was about halfway through the third quarter and it got back to one. And then Mike Muscala hit three straight threes. And yeah, okay, Jackson Hayes was guarding him and he'd sort of fell asleep on the third one. But the first two were just good shots. And it's just not good enough. You can't have the center. You need to know know your KYP, I think Antonio Daniels says. I've been quoting him a bit, but I've listened to a fair bit of him this year. Know your player. Know your players. You know your personnel. If you know that Mike Muscala has a deadly three-point shot and he's already hit two of them, maybe close out. And there was a perfect instance in the last quarter where Steven Adams came across and actually closed Muscala out, and then he had to like short-arm this terrible floater-looking thing. We got a rebound and it was a stop, and all of a sudden we were back in the game. Very frustrating. And as you can probably tell in my voice, watch the game and yeah, you get a bit annoyed because you know that these guys, these are games that you just want to win. You win these two games. So you win this game, and I'm probably still a bit salty from the Pacers game. You win that game and you win the Pacers game, and all of a sudden you're sitting, what first in the West? First or second? That's not bad. That's pretty good early in the season when people are already saying that you've got a tough schedule. This game was not one you were meant to drop, especially at home. Your home is your fortress. You've got your fans here. You have 800 fans, which are allowed in. One of six teams in the NBA that's allowing fans. And you can't win for those 800 guys that have gone and risked coronavirus on a day where the US is in absolute turmoil. it to me, it shows a bit of a lack of concentration and a bit of lack of heart, which is a shame. Because this team is great. There is greatness in this team, and I think that's why Pels fans get so frustrated, because this is a really good side. It's one of the best that I think the Pels have had for a long time. You know, Anthony Davis is gone, but the haul that we got in return are some really solid players. And there's a couple of All-Stars sitting there, and they stepped up. It was just the supporting cast that really didn't, you know. Have a look at the box score for the game. Brandon Ingram, 24, 11, and 4 assists. He was big in the third quarter, lit him up, 9 of 15 shooting. Missed his 2 3-pointers, but hit all his free throws. Only had 2 turnovers, and he was a plus 5 on the night. Another good guy was Zion Williamson, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 12 of 17 shooting, which is 70%. Only missed 1 free throw, 5 of 6. Had 3 turnovers, but he was absolutely phenomenal. He's ferocious. He's playing on this Baisley kid, and he's 20 years old, and just got outweight. Like, it's just a different weight class. So, unfortunately, couldn't get it. The bright spark for me that I was really stoked about was the great Steven Adams, though. He was a game changer. When he was on, the Pels were on. When he was off, the Pels were off. He had a triple-double, the first Pelicans player of the season to have a triple-double. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And with about 5 minutes to go, he was sitting there on 11 rebounds and 10 assists. And we're going, and 8 points. And you're going, is he going to get his triple-double? Or he's got to hit another bucket. And luckily, the guys recognized that and gave him the ball. 4 of 5 shooting, 80%. Hit his free I think he hit all of his free throws, which was pretty good. You're impressed with. Honestly, game changer. He does a whole heap more than he does on the stat sheet. So, you know, he's triple-doubling, and he still does. That's not even his most important factor, you know. The fact that he sets these bone-rattling screens and gives these guys workout shots is just, in the mid-range, phenomenal. 2 of 5 free throws, you know, you live with that. He was massive. So, yeah, happy Steven Adams Day with a triple-double day. Maybe we'll make that an official holiday over at the Hoop Ball Pels show at the Pelican Scoop. That might be an official day. The day that Steven Adams triple-doubled for the Pels is, well, I suppose it's the 6th of January in the US, so we'll go off that. Maybe we'll do it off New Zealand. 7th of January. 7th of January is Steven Adams Day. It's been officially declared. Next year, well, until he gets another triple-double. Overall, the effort wasn't there. The heart wasn't there. Despite 3 guys really stepping up, the rest of the roster was just average. Can't really be impressed with that. The next game they play is on, I think we get a day's rest again, and then we're back in. Yep, we take on the Hornets. It's an ESPN game. I don't know if it's nationally broadcast in the US, but it is over here, so you'd hope so. Eastern Conference team, that must be the last one of the homestand, and then we head off. Yep, it's in New Orleans. Do not drop this game. These guys are another upstart team. They've got Gordon Hayward as a bit of an off-season signing. LaMelo Ball joined the team after we got to watch him in the NBL last year. But beyond that, you know, this is a team we should beat. 4-4 on the season we are there, 3-5. This is must win. I'll call it right now. Don't drop the ones you should win, and win at home. 2 key fundamentals that we cannot afford to lose. Oh, guys, you get frustrated. Get frustrated watching this. So much potential. Now, I'll jump across. Oh, before I get into that, we'll plug the sponsors. MyBookie.ag, make sure you go and do all your betting over there. Get the wager pass. Listen to the guys over there at Today in Sports Betting. They'll give you all the hot tips. Another podcast run by the great Ira Silva and Devin Ellington. A few other guys over there as well. And they're great. So if you want to get some good tips, go and jump on there. Listen to those guys. Also, the good friends at Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Hoopball20 is the code. They got heaps of stuff on there. Post Christmas, you want to have a shave, you want to get some creams, all of that fun stuff that the new age man is hitting these days, all the manscaping and the hair oil and beard oil. I probably should get some with my glorious moustache, but we'll see how we go. Anyway, enough of that. Key takeaways from the game. Effort was lacking. It really was. Can't just blame the bench in this. The starters look lackadaisical. Lonzo was absolutely horrific. He settled for the jumper a lot. And even when he went to the basket, they weren't rewarding him. I think he played too hard for the foul, which was a shame. He got frustrated. There was a couple of silly fouls. And towards the end, he was really disappointing. I think he would be disappointed with his game. Fouling SGA on a three-point attempt with a minute to go, not great. And then another one on George Hill. And then almost begging them to review it when he had made a fair bit of contact with him. Yeah, it's a shame. This young guy, he'll get better. He's been good. He just had an off game. Settled for the three. It needs to get out of his hands a bit more, I think. Especially in those late game situations, he can't be the guy taking the shots. It needs to be B.I. or Zion, because those are the guys, they're your all-stars. They're the ones you need to give the ball to. Key number two that I liked was, that I recognised, was B.I. is the guy. In the third quarter, he was the one that dragged us back. On the offensive end, I think he had 14 points in the quarter. Then in the third quarter, they stopped going to him, and all of a sudden, we're back out in this hole. Also, I suppose 2B is Zion is the second guy. And in those late game situations, the ball needs to be in either of their hands. That just has to be the way that it happens. We need to get a bucket. And none of this, all right, well, we'll let him create and we'll give him, 20 seconds, a whole shot clock to run around. Clear out. Give your stars the space to operate. We want to play isolation down the stretch. Good. We got the players to do it. But make sure that we're going to give them the opportunity to succeed. Again, we got B.I. caught up in a double team because we didn't clear that side out. And if you're not going to clear out, then how is the bloke meant to shoot over three blokes? We're again falling into these late game situations where we're not giving our guys the opportunity to succeed. So that's probably number two. And number three, props to Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I honestly thought he did well with his minutes. He was aggressive. There were some plays that really sparked the offense, I think, and on the defensive end, he was good. He missed that shot at the end, but he was game enough to take it. How many young players are willing to step into a three and say, all right, game's on the line, I'm going to take it? I don't think that many. I think a few would have been looking to pass out. Instead, he made a veteran point guard in George Hill bite so hard on a three-point pump fake and then to almost splash it. Those will come. There's something there with that kid. So he's all right. So they're probably the three main things that I really liked. It's a disappointing loss. There's no way around it. You can't beat around the bush. It really was a disappointing loss, and we shouldn't have been in a situation that we were, even letting them get this confidence to take it to us. The team on paper is not good compared to ours, but unfortunately paper doesn't always translate to real life. But I suppose that is life, isn't it? If we get a bit pensive, a bit philosophical for a second. The ball's not always going to bounce your way, but it's what you make of the situation. We've got to bounce back. I'm not going to make a prediction of the next game because last time I did that, I come back and now I'm talking to you again with my tail between my legs, which is a bit disappointing, but because they let us down. They let us down. And more importantly, they let the fans down. The fans in the stands, but that's how it goes. Hopefully they can reward the 800 people that show up to the Charlotte game, but, fingers crossed. Guys, I think that's enough of me carrying on today. I'm going to leave it at that. As always, I'm Lyle Swithenbank. This has been the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. Give us a follow on Twitter. Hoopball Pels is the Twitter handle. Go and do that as well. Have a good rest of your week. I'll have a chat to you after the next game. I suppose that is Friday, so it'll be Saturday for me. Stay safe. Look after one another and be kind. Bye for now.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.